Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray is hitting the right buttons today, producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Tuesday, February the 9th, 2016, a very warm week in southern Arizona. I think yesterday at 81, we tied a record. We're going to be kind of in that territory right on through the weekend. I'm not complaining. I'd rather have kind of really nice 70s, 80s, low 80s weather this time of year. But then, of course, that does bring up the question, oh my goodness, I hope that doesn't mean a really, really hot summer. But hopefully there's no correlation there. We have a very full hour of content, which I am happy to report has become a trademark of our daily programs here on KVOI. We're going to begin with an effort to defeat Proposition 123. Then certified financial planner Shelley Fishman has his Tuesday Moneymaker report. Shelley's not with me in studio. He'd be giving, I'm sure, a little bit of a thumbs down. The market's been down. We'll hear from Shelley on the live line at about 20 past 12. Then at 12:30, the Assistance League of Tucson, they have a really fun fundraiser. It's called What It's Worth. It's kind of appraisers go through a lot of the stuff that's been in your closet. Well, maybe you might have some hidden gems there. We'll tell you about that. Then we'll do our arts report. Arts writer from the Tucson Weekly, Margaret Regan, joins us for the arts report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. Links to the Buckmaster Show always available on several different media sources, including TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and Southern Arizona News Examiner. Thank you all very much. 790-2040, the live line number. Our Facebook presence under my name, Bill Buckmaster, become a friend. We're also doing Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Proposition 123, let's talk about it. Asking voters in May to approve a K-12 education funding proposal as a settlement to a many years long legal battle between the state and school districts and education groups. That lawsuit was filed in 2010 after the state failed to adjust the base level per pupil funding according to inflation as required by a 2000 voter approved proposal. This plan, if approved, puts $3.5 billion into Arizona schools over the next 10 years. One of those opposed to Proposition 123 is Morgan Abraham. Mr. Abraham, a rising star in this community, a fine young man. He is former U of A student body president. He's a Tucson realtor. He's chair of this group Vote No on Prop 123. Morgan, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
So why are you against this?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, everyone agrees we want more money for education, and that's not the issue of why we're against it. But I think fundamentally,
You've got brothers still in the system.
Yeah. So I have, my mom is a public school teacher in Phoenix. My two brothers are in sixth and seventh grade in Phoenix. I want education funded as much as possible. I think that's important to any state. It's good for the economy. It's good for everyone. But what this is doing is it's spending land trust money, and it's spending the principle of land trust money in the place of general fund money. So it's a confusing subject, but essentially we're spending money that's designed for the future, that's going to be designed for the next 100 plus years now in place of general fund money. And it begs a big question of why aren't we spending the budget surplus we have in Phoenix on education? Why would we rather do something fiscally bad and spend land trust money in that place?
It's almost a philosophical argument that you're saying, Morgan, why let him off the hook on this thing? Why not just settle the lawsuit with the money that we have?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, we clearly have the budget surplus to settle the lawsuit. And to me, this argument's not even about the number, right? Because Proposition 123 does not even fund the lawsuit what the courts ordered that the legislature pays. I think we're still about $100 million less than what the courts ordered. And that's not even the big issue I have. The issue I have is we shouldn't be spending trust money or spending the principal of a trust that's supposed to be used for future generations to fund education. We should be spending the budget surplus. And the problem you're going to see happen is we have this budget surplus. It's there. It's about $500 million for the next 2 years, and I think $200 million or so ongoing after more tax cuts kick in. And so what's going to happen is we're going to start to spend that money, or more likely, we're going to cut more taxes. And so then fast forward 10 years from now, when the Prop 123 money runs out, our trust is depleted by about $2 to $3 billion less than what it should be. It's going to pay out less money to education to the tune of around $100 million a year. And on top of that, we don't have the revenues to be able to give more money to education because we cut taxes, and it takes a two-thirds majority to undo a tax cut. So it's just a really bad idea that's going to set us up for another problem in 10 years.
790-2040, our friend Jim. I think it's Jim Kelly has called us on the live line. Hey, Jim, you're with Morgan.
Hey, thank you, Bill. Morgan, I've got two questions for you. The first one is this. So we settled the lawsuit, but the point of that original proposition was not just what we owed in the past, but what they continue to want in the future in terms of the cost of living adjustment, right? Or the inflationary adjustment.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's not going to be in the surplus, all right? Secondly, what is wrong with using the state land trust for what the state land trust was designed to be used for? We're just talking about percentage points here that go up for a few years in terms of how much we take out of the trust, and then it goes back down. So what's wrong with that in using that to spur growth in the education economy at this point?
Yeah, so I'll answer the second question first. I didn't quite understand the first question. But basically, the problem is, at least that my group sees, is we have a budget surplus. We have the ability to settle this lawsuit for the amount that Proposition 123 is asking us. But what we want to do is we want to spend land trust money. And you're right. The land trust is designed for education. But I'll give the listeners a little bit of background. The land trust is a fund. It's a trust fund that money that when we sell or lease land goes into it, and then our treasurer invests that money in stocks and bonds. We receive a very conservative rate of return on that because we've invested very conservatively, typically around 6% per year. And then the proceeds of that after you factor in for inflation should be going to education. What we're doing is we are way spending more money than we're earning every single year, which is causing the land trust to run a deficit, if you will. We're going to be pulling out an extra $2 billion from this trust in the next 10 years. And the long-term consequence of that is in 10 years, this trust, which typically pays around $100 million and should be paying $200 million a year to education, it'll be stuck at $100 million. It's going to be $100 million less to education every single year. And this is forever. And that's a big problem, especially when there's such a clear solution to settle this lawsuit. And that's the general fund.
Jim, do you have a quick comment?
I do have a quick follow-up. First off, what's the percentage we're taking out of the land trust right now? We're
not taking 2.5% right now.
We're taking 2.5%. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go up
to 6.9%.
What we're making for a couple of years and then go back down to 3%. I don't see the problem there.
Yeah, so I'll run the numbers real quick. So right now we're at a 2.5% is what we take out of the trust every year. And the governor and the Prop 123 is proposing a 6.9% increase in that. So we're going to be taking out 6.9% of the fund. Now, first of all, on a fundamental level, you ask any certified financial planner, anyone that does finance, 6.9% is a crazy number to be taking out of a fund. So you got to think, though, that this fund is invested conservatively. We're only gaining 6% per year. And of that 6%, you got to factor about 2 to 3% is going to be taken out for inflation, because at the end of the day, purchasing power is what we care about, not actual value. So in reality, the fund is only increasing by purchasing power anywhere from 2 or 3 to 3.5%. And we want to draw from that 6.9%. You're going to see real quickly that the fund is going to decrease. The purchasing power of the fund is going to get smaller by 4% every single year. And it's going to have long-term consequences, especially when there's such a simple solution, and that's, using the general fund money.
Shouldn't we take the money, though, while we can? That's what I think some of the voters...
Yeah, and I get that argument. I mean, the problem that I think we need to realize what the long-term consequences of, using the land trust money is. I mean, we can, obviously, I think when the AEA and other education associations were negotiating this deal, we didn't realize we had this huge budget surplus. Last year, the legislature kind of finished the session real quick, and no one had any idea we were in a better fiscal situation than we are. And so fast forward a year now, we kind of are stuck with a deal that was more meant for a much worse economic situation that we thought Arizona was in, and we're not in that situation. So all my group's saying is, you know, isn't it more logical to use the money that's sitting in the general fund than kind of really putting the future at a big risk 10 years from now?
All right, we have time for one more question. Let's go to Josh, 790-2040. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how are you? Good. Yeah, real quickly, I mean, the fund is malleable. Just sell off more land or increase the size of the fund.
Exactly, and that's what our group is saying. Instead of dipping out of the principal of the fund, we should just sell more land. We have to sell it in 100 years anyway. Why aren't we just selling more land, increasing the size of the fund, and then continuing at a 2.5% distribution rate from that fund?
You think most teachers are for this?
It's funny. I mean, the association is, right?
Right, AEA, Andrew Morrill's group.
Clearly for this. Yeah. The teachers we talk to, the ones that understand it, you know, no, they're not for it. Most of them plan on being in education longer than 10 years. I mean, not the young teachers, but the ones that have kind of, you know, stuck through the rough times. And yeah, this is scary to them. And they get education more than anyone else. And yeah, we have so many teachers that have told us, you know what, if this is going to take an extra year to kind of drag out and figure out, we're willing to wait that year because, you know, the long-term consequences of this, the money we're going to be losing from this deal is so much worse.
Well, maybe we can arrange to have you and even Mr. Morrill, Andrew Morrill of the AEA together on the show. That'd be an interesting half hour. I would love that.
That would be great.
Even if he would do it on the phone, we'd have you here in the studio. Morgan, thank you very much. Morgan Abraham, who is against Prop 120. And he's the chair of the group saying vote no. Thank you, Morgan.
Thank
Do you have
you
a
so
website or anything?
Yeah, we have a website for our campaign committee. It's noprop123.com. We have a Facebook page. Just search no on Prop123. And we also have a Twitter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by a new sponsor. We urge you, visit Green Things. I've been a patron of Green Things for many years. They've really got it all. It's 13 acres now. They were on 4. They've expanded now to 13. They've got nearly, well, almost 36 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, great pottery, gardening supplies. Visit Green Things. Great access now, right off River Road, 3384 East River Road, over by the Rito Riverwalk. In fact, you can even access Green Things from the Riverwalk. And they're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Check out Green Things just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things for all your gardening supplies. Thank you, Green Things, for your support. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And it is time for Shelley. Shelley's on the live line. Shelley, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well for Tuesday, Bill.
If you were with me in studio, would I be seeing a thumbs down on the market?
Well, actually, you'd be seeing a thumbs down and then way down and then somewhat down and then possibly down. And then it's one of those volatile days, and the market is just kind of going nuts.
Well, everybody's worried about the big R word now popping up again, and that would be, Shelley, recession.
So bite your tongue. a couple of things. We need to do a little bit of discussion on what economics is and how exact or inexact a science it might be. What we know is that there are some of the technical analysts who are looking at the charts that they do every day and saying, well, some of those charts are indicating that we might be headed toward a much slower growth or even negative growth period. Others are saying, well, I don't think so, because the fundamentals remain very strong. I mean, last week we had a pretty good employment report. We're down, what, at 4.9% unemployment right now. Consumer sentiment is pretty good. Factory and inventories are about where they need to be for the economy moving along as it is. And so what some economists are saying is that, and we discussed this last week a little bit, Bill, is that one of the biggest problems we're having right now is understanding the impact of these much lower oil prices on the economy. Is it a net positive for the economy because consumers have more to spend, or is it a net negative for the economy because we're losing jobs and losing investment as a result of oil wells being shut down? And so the economists in general really don't know. They haven't been able to come to a consensus, and that's kind of one of the problems with economics. Is it's not really a science that you can discuss with any degree of certainty. For one thing, even when we have numbers that we believe, people interpret those numbers differently. The other problem is with the world economy being as large and in some cases as opaque as it is, we don't always trust the numbers. So the long and short of it is, I don't think we're going into recession right now, though we've had, you know, close to 7 years since the last recession. That's about the average for the interval between recessions. I think we've got a couple of years left in this growth cycle, but some things could get in the way, and if they do, then we could certainly go from what has been fairly weak growth in the 2% area, down to negative growth for two quarters, without any precipitant, like a bubble bursting.
I think everybody's asking, Shelley, where is the bottom on this thing? And they're looking for stability.
Well, we're all looking for stability. Nobody knows where the bottom is. If this is just a normal correction, then it is not a harbinger of doom. It's just a normal correction. If, on the other hand, it kind of stays here for a while and continues to look for a firm bottom and doesn't bounce back as it has been doing over the past couple of weeks, actually a couple of months, then it could be that the markets, which are typically regarded as a leading indicator, that they're telling us that the economy is going to slow down and that the gloom and doomers are more right than wrong. Just one thing, one of the problems with the economy in general is that it is subject to human feelings. It's not all logic. It's not all rationality. It can be very, very non-rational. And so when you turn on, the talking heads, and all you hear from some of them is gloom and doom because they're looking, quite frankly, to keep people glued to their television sets, that can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so I like to warn consumers, be very wary of what you listen to. Listen to a lot of things and a lot of different perspectives because, listening to the same gloom and doomers day in and day out can make you kind of gloomy.
Yeah, that's for sure. What do you suggest? What are you telling your clients right now, Shelley?
Well, right now, there are some strategies that are being touted by some investment companies that say, look, over the past 2 months, we beat the S&P by 2, 3, 4, 10%. Time to change strategies. Well, what they're not telling you, of course, is that for the past 3 years, they didn't beat the S&P. So there's such a thing as tactical management that would have you adjust your investment strategies for the current economic conditions. The problem there is you've got to stay on top of it very, very adroitly. Because as soon as the market moves back to something normal, then these extraordinary strategies become disaffective or ineffective, and the more traditional strategies take over. So I would say, if you're properly allocated, stay with quality, stay with large cap U.S. equities. If you're going to be overseas at all, stay in the more developed economies for now. Reduce the risk and volatility in your portfolio as much as you can, and then hold your breath, and we have to kind of live through this.
And of course, we've got to watch oil, and that's has been one of the problems: the falling oil prices.
Right, and it's not clear how much more they would fall, or if they fell anymore. That volatility isn't already built into the markets. I think there are other things affecting, besides oil in China. I think there are other things kind of affecting this volatility right now. A lot of uncertainty around the elections. We have a lot of uncertainty around the price of the dollar, and a lot of uncertainty around what the Fed is going to do. And I think those things, as much as oil in China right now, are causing uncertainty in the markets.
Yeah, because oil's been pretty much around $30 a barrel, so there seems to be some stability there.
Yeah, I mean, it's stability in a place we don't like.
No.
But it's the markets have had an opportunity to kind of price this in. The problem is there's no consensus from the economists and from the market analysts as to whether this price range creates equilibrium in the economy and therefore is a non-event, or if it's weighing one way or the other, good or bad, on what we think the economy or how the economy will react to this kind of low pricing in oil. More importantly, I think, again, is that the dollar remains strong, and therefore that's affecting our ability to export stuff.
It has weakened a little bit. I noticed the euro has been creeping up there. Not too much.
A little bit, but yeah. We need quite frankly, we need to get the euro, from one, I don't know, didn't check in the past day or two, but we need it around $1.20.
Yeah.
And at around $1.10, it's just too low.
All right, Shelley Fishman, where can we get a hold of you, Shell?
Best way is to go to your program's website, buckmastershow.com. Hit the link to my website, and then I return the call.
All right, Shelley, we'll see you next week. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday as we talk with Pima County Recorder F.N. Rodriguez. Also, we'll preview this weekend's Gem Show at the TCC. The Buckmaster Show airing live noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got live streaming podcasts and our complete archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Of course, today is the big primary up in New Hampshire. We'll have coverage tonight from 7 to 10. Hugh Hewitt will be hosting our coverage here on KVOI. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it's only 3-hour drive over there. Very historic area of the southwestern United States. Really a fun place to kind of hang out in historic downtown Silver City. And they have one of the finest collections of Mimbrace pottery in the world at Western New Mexico University. It is a fabulous collection. You really do. If you're into antiques and art like I am, you need to check out Western New Mexico University in Silver City. Again, only 3 hours over there. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. Great places to stay. The full listing on the website, including Little Toad Creek Inn. Well, have you ever wondered what that heirloom that is collecting dust in your closet is actually worth? You can find out about it at the annual What's It Worth Antiques Appraisal Fair that is coming up Sunday, February 28th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's presented by the Assistance League of Tucson. This fundraiser is hosted by Casino del Sol Resort, just west of I-19 on Valencia. Kim Sparling is with us. Kim is a member of the Assistance League. She's chair of the What's It Worth fundraiser, also with us, Tucson native and well-known appraiser. You've seen him on TV on the Antiques Roadshow. James Supp is with us. He's one of the nationally recognized appraisers who will be at that event. James has been an avid collector of antique tools. That's kind of been one of his specialties, tools, scientific instruments, and collectibles. James and Kim, good to see you both. Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Kim, yes. This event, I remember your first one just a couple of years ago. It's really taken off, hasn't it?
It has. Actually, this is going to be our fifth year doing this event. And I like it because it answers that age-old question, and I'm stealing a quote from one of the appraisers, Stuart Whitehurst. Did Grandma lie? We've all been to our grandmother's home, and she said,
"This is worth a fortune."
Don't touch that.
Yeah. Then Grandpa said, "Oh man, that thing is worth so much money. You don't want to touch that."
So it's fun to bring your family heirlooms and not only find out what they're worth, but to learn more about them and about their history. And the best part is we have nationally recognized appraisers who are traveling to Tucson just for this event to support Assistance League's fundraiser.
James, who are some of your colleagues that are going to be joining us?
Well, we're going to have Linda Dyer, who is absolutely wonderful doing the tribal arts and southwestern Indian items. She's just a delight. We're going to have Colleen Fesco doing all the paintings, thank goodness. She has been just a marvel on the show. She's such a great help to us. Who else we have? We have Stuart.
Stuart Whitehurst is going to be along.
Stuart Whitehurst is, he's just a genius. He's a sweet guy. He can do almost anything. Just a wonderful appraiser.
And Colleen?
Fesco. Does the paintings.
Terrific. Yes. You've got an item here that looks very intriguing in front of me. It looks like it's like an old, like a ray gun or something?
Well, that's exactly what it is. So it's a Buck Rogers ray gun. Now, Buck Rogers, you know, great comic strip and later a TV series in the 70s and early 80s. And this was one of the earliest versions of the Buck Rogers ray gun. It was released by Daisy originally in 1934.
Wow.
Now, they have several different models. And the neat thing about these older toys is they were in production for a very long time. It wasn't a new toy every year. They didn't do just one run. They'd release it and re-release it. So there are several different versions using the exact same dies. This particular model, it's your typical Buck Rogers looking space gun. It's got the fins on the front. I mean, it looks very spacey. And there were several different versions of it. This particular one was released after World War II using the exact same molds they were using back in 1934. But this one was changed to the atomic ray gun to kind of talk about the the atomic age.
Right, right. What's something like that worth, James?
This one isn't working, and it's in kind of rough shape. Okay. But as it is, it's still around $150 to $300 to a collector.
With toys, it's really important, isn't it, about the condition, of course. And if it's in original box, that's
absolutely
really cool.
Absolutely. And for quite a few toys, the original box can actually be worth more than the toy itself.
I know you're also into sports memorabilia, and my neighbor here next door here at KVOI, Jerry Cross, we always call it like he's our production ace, but he also has like a memorabilia museum next door. He's got some fantastic sports memorabilia, political stuff, autographs. What'd you think of Jerry's collection?
It was incredibly fun. I mean, you walk in and everywhere you look, there's something else to look at. You're constantly going, oh, who's this? Oh, Groucho Marx. Oh, hey, what do we have? Oh, Joe DiMaggio. I mean, the room is just packed full of neat things. And he's got wonderful, like, little Viewmasters and radios and all sorts of things to play with.
He showed me some cards. They were like Babe Ruth trading cards. Mm-hmm. And they were promoting a particular ice cream company. Had you ever seen those cards
before? I've seen them. And the difficulty with those particular that particular card set is it's been reproduced so many
times
that even the really good collectors tend to shy away from them because even the good reproductions are so close to the original, it's really hard to tell apart. And for most collectors, they don't want to get too deep into that sort of thing. So they just they've lost a lot of value because no one wants to touch them.
James Supp is with us. James, one of the expert appraisers who will be at the What's It Worth event. You've seen James on TV on the Antiques Roadshow, and Kim Sparling is here from the Assistance League. Where do the proceeds from this event, Kim, go to? What basically is the Assistance League?
The Assistance League is an all-volunteer organization here in Tucson. We started in 1959. We serve the needs of Tucson men, women, and children. And all of your donations stay here in Tucson to serve our community. That's one of the best parts about it. The beneficiary of this event are our philanthropic programs. Operation School Bell is our flagship program. And I'd just like to say, imagine your 9-year-old boy standing at the bus stop on one of these really cold mornings. You have no sweater, no jacket. You're wearing torn pajama bottoms. And you're wearing your mom's pink sneakers with holes in them. You get on the bus finally where it's warm, and you go to school, and you're teased.
Mm.
So we work with more than 30 schools here in the Tucson area to bring children to our philanthropic programs facility to provide them with brand new clothes, hoodies so they're warm, a backpack filled with school supplies, a hygiene kit, and a book of their very own that they get to take home. And this year, we've dressed almost 4,000 children. Each year, we try to expand the program. Next year, we're hoping to expand to more than 4,500 children to serve here in Tucson.
Well, on the way into work, I drive by your facility on Alvernon, the Assistance League, and the parking lot's always jammed. I mean, people are looking for good buys and also to help you all out.
We have a thrift shop. The thrift shop provides more than 50% of the funding for our programs, and we get some great finds in there.
I bet.
So, and actually, there's a special event. Can I say this,
sure,
James?
Yeah.
February the 18th from 5 to 7, our thrift shop will be open in the evening. It's a free event. James is going to do treasure hunt at the thrift shop.
Very cool.
So he'll walk through every department, china, boutique, paintings, shoes, furniture, and say, here's what you look for, and here's how you find your treasure at the shop.
Okay, that's February 18th.
Yes.
Okay, James, back to autographs like Jerry has next door, a lot of sports memorabilia. How do you know if it's an original autograph? I mean, that's real hard, isn't it? Or is it?
It is. It's very hard because, frankly, as things become valuable, they become faked a lot because people are trying to make a quick nickel. And going through it, people talk about a lot about certificates of authenticity. Well, those are only as important as the guy who signed their certificate of authenticity, and even those can be faked. And so in the sports world, and in, frankly, any autograph has a possibility of being faked. So what you have to look at is compare it to ones that you know are authentic, see if it looks correct, or even better, see if you have a photo of the person actually signing it, or what Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, he's actually taken to Twitter and he's authenticating his own autographs
on Twitter. Yeah, I was going to ask you about social media, and we're quickly running out of time, but how has that changed your business, the eBay, Amazon, all of that, the whole collectible market?
Tremendously. It's making people a lot more aware of what items are out there and how rare or not rare they are, and just making a lot of collecting a lot more accessible to people. Mm-hmm. You can buy your items off of eBay or on Craigslist without even having to look at them. It's really made a huge shift in the way people collect.
James, thank you very much. James,
thank you so much for having us.
Expert appraiser who will be part of the What's It Worth Antiques Appraisal Fair Sunday, February 28th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Casino del Sol. Kim Sparling, thank you very much. Tickets, best place to go, where?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's with a Z, or by calling our hotline at 345-0717. And thank you for having us. This
was
delightful.
Welcome. It's always a pleasure to help out the Assistance League. They started this 5 years ago. Kind of my radio show started 5 years ago, and I always remember when you started this What's It Worth event. It's really been a big hit from the beginning, so it's going to be great.
It has, and thank you so much. Okay. We hope to see you out there.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks, James. Thank you.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Not a very good singer, am I? But you know what? Cockroaches aren't a pleasant subject, and we had them. And I called my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control, and guess what? No more cockroaches. Adios, cucaracha. Hasta mañana. No más.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown Fox Tucson Theater. March 2nd, the Fox presents guitarist Joe Satriani from Searching to Shockwave, backed by a full band. Joe will highlight his new album, Shockwave Supernova, and celebrate what Rolling Stone magazine calls his mind-bending guitar daredevilry. That's Joe Satriani coming March 2nd, then at the Fox on Saturday, March the 5th. The improv comedy group Second City will be coming to town. To see the full Fox schedule and to purchase tickets to see Joe Satriani from Searching to Shockwave on March 2nd, Kebmo on March 3rd, the Second City, Saturday, March 5th, and Tao, 17 Samurai on March 6th. What a diverse lineup, huh? Visit the Fox Tucson Theater webpage, foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now our arts contributor, Margaret Regan. And Margaret, since 1990, has been writing about the arts for the Tucson Weekly. She is also the author of two critically acclaimed books on immigration. Her latest, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, winning all sorts of rave reviews. Margaret, how are you?
I'm great today, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. What can we look for in the Tucson Weekly this week?
Well, I have quite an interesting art review this week. It's a show by a person named Wynn Neely at Joseph Gross Gallery at the U of A, and they're known for kind of edgy contemporary work. And what this is a documentary exhibition about a young, formerly female artist transition to becoming a male.
Hmm.
It's filled with all sorts of interesting things. Neely made voice recordings every week for a year and a half. And the first, you can listen to it on earphones in the gallery, and you hear, you know, very much what sounds like a woman's voice in the first recording. And then over time, as this person is injecting testosterone, the voice gets deeper and deeper, so that by the time of the last recording, it sounds like a man.
Wow.
Yeah, and we have a lot of what you call selfies. They look like old-fashioned Polaroids to me, but these instant photos. He took pictures of himself every day that he had to inject testosterone, which is something I guess you have to keep up your whole life when you transition like that.
Well, that is certainly, to put it mildly, a different kind of art show, right?
Yeah, for sure. So, but it has all these images, which are quite interesting. And then also testimonials, a wonderful letter from his grandfather, late in life saying, you know, wrote a letter to this young, now young grandson, and said, whatever makes you happy.
Huh.
I'll love you no matter what. So that was a lovely ending to the show.
And that starts the show...
It's already there.
Okay.
In fact, it started in January, and the artist came and gave a talk. So, but it'll be up through, I think, early April.
That's at the Joseph Gross Gallery.
Right.
No. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Joseph
it's a little... It's not that little, actually. It's kind of attached to the University of Arizona
right
Museum
next
of Art.
To the UA the Museum of Art, right.
Yeah, right there in the same building, but another wing.
And other shows of visual interest at Davis Dominguez Gallery.
Yeah. Now, you know, there's an artist whose work I've been covering and following for years named Claire Campbell Park. She is a brilliant colorist. She was a professor at Pima College for years, and she always taught a course in color, which was always hard to get into. The course would close out. People clamored for it because her knowledge is so great. But her medium is not paint, as you might expect. It's silken threads, and she's a weaver of the first order. These are not like sort of typical crafty kinds of weavings. They're these sort of gorgeous abstractions of color melting into each other, and she uses this fine silken thread, as I said, so that they're just stunning. And she has she's in a three-person show at Davis Dominguez Gallery, and really hope people will get out to see that. That's up through the end of this month.
You had your spring preview. That was in the Weekly a week or so ago.
Yeah.
In fact, that's still readily available, of course, at TucsonWeekly.com. It's got everything you need to know about the spring art season, which is traditionally a very busy one. What would you say is kind of the marquee event of the spring, Margaret?
Well, I'd have to say the most famous artist showing in town is Ai Weiwei, who is the very famous Chinese artist and activist that we've heard so much about over the last few years. Really interesting character. He is having a small show at the Tucson Museum of Art. He's not coming himself, but it is opening this weekend on the 13th, and it's very timely in conjunction with the Chinese New Year, which I think started yesterday.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, and he's showing 12 bronze zodiac heads, you know, from the traditional Chinese zodiac, but he makes them large and, you know, in metal. He's an interesting character because as a young man, he somehow got to New York and just immersed himself in the contemporary scene there in the 90s. And then he went back to China, and he has a pretty contemporary and edgy practice, but he also works a lot with images like this. This is from, you know, traditional Chinese arts, but this has a whole history in which it was used by the invaders of China to sort of make their way into China by exhibiting these same type of zodiac heads. So it's a commentary on colonialism and tradition, but it's also very contemporary.
And that is that show is the 12 bronze animal heads. Mm-hmm. That show will continue. Starts up this weekend, right?
Yeah, this weekend, and it's there for a long time, clear through June 26th.
Any other of note things that you would like to point out as far as the spring season, Margaret?
Yeah, well, I'm going to Etherton Gallery today. I think we talked about this before. They have a big show of what they're calling the new figuration paintings, in a way, kind of old-fashioned,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right?
The use of paint and brush and color. And the images are figurative, you know, human bodies. So I'm curious to see that. Let's see. You know, the Tucson Museum of Art is a very exciting place lately, and I think we can credit our friend, chief curator, Dr. Julie Sassi, who is probably the hardest working curator in town. There's a great show she's got up right now that I reviewed a couple weeks ago. A local artist, Kathleen Valo, did this long project recording images of the Colorado River all the way up from its headwaters up in Colorado down to Mexico, where, as you probably know, it dribbles into almost nothingness because six different states pull the water out of it. And she made these amazing large-scale color photos by walking into this river in her boots and putting photographically treated paper under the water, exposing it to light, and thus getting a picture of the river from the bottom.
Hmm.
As though you were lying on the bottom of the river and looking up.
Wow.
And what she found is that this river gets more and more polluted as it travels along its route, going by populated areas and industries and so forth. And as you know, many millions of us drink that water.
Well, we've got the Tucson Festival of Books coming up. One of the interviewers of Douglas Brinkley, a very famous contemporary historian, talking about FDR, Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, and FDR, and they're contributing to conservation in this country. That's going to be 10:30 Saturday morning will be my event. Are you going to be involved as well, Margaret?
Yes, I am. I have three events.
Well, do you think, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to be in Women Journalists on the Border on Saturday. I think that's at 11:30.
Okay.
And Celeste Bustamante de Gonzalez is a moderator. I had her last year for moderator. She's great. You know,
my old friend and colleague, yes.
Oh, that's right. You used to work with her.
Worked with her in San Jose even before Channel 6. So,
is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, she's great. You know, she takes students down to the border all the time, so she knows a lot about reporting the border. And then on Sunday, I'm excited to be in a panel with Luis Orea, who's, you know, a very famous.
Very
and,
big
and,
time. Yep.
Yeah, very lauded. And our friend Jim Ninsel will be the moderator for that.
All right.
Yeah. And so, then later that afternoon, another sort of women's border panel, and Jim will also moderate that.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have you on before that event, the 13th or 14th, so you can kind of go over some of that again. So,
great.
Margaret, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Okay. You too, Bill.
Margaret Regan with us, the Buckmaster Show Arts Report contributor, our Arts Report sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Joe Satriani, featured in his current tour From Searching to Shockwave. Satriani is going to be involved at the Fox with his show March 2nd. Then on Saturday the 5th, enjoy the side-splitting comedy of The Second City. Sunday, March 6th, it's Tao 17 Samurai. That's another family-friendly performance. You can learn about what's going on, purchase all of your tickets by visiting foxtucson.com for the full listing of what's going on, and there's so much going on over at the Fox Theater. All right, coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, The Daily Double, Chris DeSimone 8 to 9, Sean McCluskey from 9 to 10, and then tonight we have coverage of the New Hampshire primary from 7 to 10. Our friend Hugh Hewitt will be hosting that. I'm Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen, wishing you a great afternoon and evening.